Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello. It is your hostess with the mostest, Miss Jules, and we are here today providing a really, really great show. So it's Miss Jules hosting the show and the intellectual co-host, Gemini. Gemini, how are you tonight?
I'm good. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Well, unfortunately, everybody, the ultra-fabulous Z-Fly will not be with us today, since he will be representing the Real Hot and Fresh show on location in NYC tonight. It's red carpet freshness around here, okay? Yes, it is. It's Real Hot and Fresh Mondays, and we have a fantastic show for you to kick off our Monday night. So tonight we have a very special show that we're going to be interviewing King Jabbar and listening to some of his music. So I can't wait for that. He's really, really interesting. The music is new, and I can't wait for you guys to hear it. So Gemini, how was your weekend?
It was good. It was pretty good actually. I actually relaxed. I actually had some downtime to actually sleep and get some time in, because school has been hectic and work, you know, so I appreciated this weekend a lot.
Yeah.
Yours?
Yeah, mine was pretty good. I had some really interesting things going on. I was able to attend the Black Fest. We actually interviewed the producers, and we had them on the show a couple of weeks ago, and it was really interesting. They had these new plays and new techniques, and it was just very, very interesting. They had a lot of improvisation going on, and it was really, really interesting. I mean, they did a rendition of American Progress that was just too funny, and it was so simple, but it was too funny. Now, did you happen to hear about the Black Fest? Did you see any of the footage?
No, not the footage. I actually saw some pictures on it. I heard about it and everything, and I remember I was talking to Z-Fly about it, and then I looked it up online and everything, so I saw a couple of pictures, and it looked pretty good. It looked like it was a success.
It was a full-day event. It went on from 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then beyond 8 o'clock, there was free drinks. They had like wine. All they were looking for was the donation. So it's really, it's something really cool that anybody should really think about going to, because they even did like a skit play about Obama's presidency, and it was really interesting to see different races come to a conclusion about racism. I think it's never really been discussed. And the way that it was discussed, it was put together in a play format, and then all of the actors were surrounding, they were in the audience, and it was just so immersive and innovative. I really enjoyed it. It was too bad you couldn't come and see what everything was about. And then, I mean, like, one of the 60 plays, I think it's 60 plays in 100 plays in 1 hour. So basically it's a theater company, and they play a game with the audience. So it's really interactive. And they had numbers from 1 to 10 talking about, and it was a game, you know. They would yell out curtain, and you would yell out a number, and it was really cool. And then there was a part where they were like, oh, find love. That was so interesting because somebody actually came off stage and they just sprinkled the whole entire audience with different letters, and somebody had to find the L, the O, and the V, and the E. And then the whole point of the exercise was that love is not that hard to find. And I thought that was really interesting.
That's actually smart.
Yeah. So today we've got King Jabbar, who's going to be coming in, and he's going to be interviewing with us. And have you had a chance to listen to his music?
Yeah. It's actually not that bad. It's pretty good.
Right? Good. I thought the beats were so innovative and so different. Don't you think that's something that we need right now?
Yeah. That's what actually caught my attention, the beats, the way
he
sounded.
Me too, and his voice.
Yeah.
His voice is fantastic. Okay, so we
close.
Have a caller. Just a moment. Hello, thank you for keeping it real hot and fresh.
Hello.
Hello.
What's up, y'all? It's Z-Fly.
Hi, Z-Fly. It is our co-host. He is on location.
Yes,
representing
I am.
Yes, how is it over there?
But, you know, but the funny thing is, you know, I'm on location, supposedly some members. I'm at this club. I couldn't even tell you the name of this club, but I can tell you the location. It's actually Lower Manhattan. It's off of Bleecker and, like, Sixth Avenue in the West Village. But supposedly there are some members of G-Unit is supposed to be here, and yours truly will be interviewing some of those members. Now, I'm not really sure, you know, if it's actually going to be G-Unit, you know, themselves, or if it's going to be somebody, you know, within their posse. I'm not sure. They're keeping me in suspense. A lot of, you know, everybody's in suspense. Actually, the party is just now getting started, so it's not really packed right now. People are coming in. But, yeah, but it was kind of funny because, like, we were supposed to meet at this other location, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, where are these people? So then I actually called the people, you know, that's hosting this event. And they're like, oh yeah, we moved it. I was like, thanks a lot. You know what I'm saying? Tell me an hour later. But it's all good. But no, real quick, before our guests call in, I wanted to tell everybody that I'm pretty sure everybody knows by now, but, of course, you know that T.I. has been sentenced to 11 months in prison due to, you know, the narcotics that he got caught with in L.A. in September. So I just wanted to, like, to me that was like, wow. But, you know, it's kind of funny because, you know, he was on a three-year probation after having all of those firearms, you know, so that he gets out of prison from that. And now he's on three-year probation. And then he gets caught, you know, with the narcotics. But my thing is, okay, he is sentenced to 11 months in prison. But if it was a regular person, really, you're on probation from having all those firearms in your possession, and then you get caught with narcotics on your probation, and then you only get 11 months. That's not even a year. I don't know.
To me, that's like, you might as well have done 2 years back-to-back, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. It's just crazy. Like, my thing is, every time I hear all of these you know, celebrities, they get off, you know, scot-free. You know, they do a little bit of community service, do a little bit of probation, and then they get, like, a few months or maybe a year in prison or jail. It's just like, wow.
Yeah.
You know?
But it's not even, like, a regular jail, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Exactly. So.
Yeah. That's crazy. I can't believe he's back in jail. 11 months already? T.I. is
yeah.
11 months, and I'm repeating it, and I cannot believe it. Because one would think that with all the positivity that he was spreading and all these good deeds that he was doing, that he would have been straight after the gun rap, you know? We would have thought that he would have been okay. You know what I mean? But what's even more ludicrous is how he got caught. You know what I mean? That's what's more ludicrous, because we all know that as they are human, they are celebrities, but being that you are a celebrity, everybody has that understanding that these people have a social responsibility, whether they like it or not. They're an example, you know what I mean? And with all those good things, those positive things that he was doing, I mean, like, that really puts a hole in everything, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's just like, you know, like, when he gets out, I wonder what kind of career he's going to have. You know?
I don't know.
Yeah, because he was trying to turn everything around with all this good press, you know, and it just didn't go anywhere. I don't understand why, you know, like, I don't understand.
I mean, when he got out, I mean, the whole reason, like, the movie he made, Takers, the whole reason why they, because that movie actually, they finished filming that almost a year and a half ago, and they held it just because of T.I. They were waiting for him to get out and used him getting out as the movie to, you know, to, they could publicize the movie more. You know, they did so many things basically just for wait for him to get out, and everybody was happy. We were celebrating for him to, you know, go right back in. It's like, you know?
Yeah, it is a little bit on the ridiculous side.
It's crazy. It is.
And then I wonder... You know how Lindsay is going to jail really boosted her career. I wonder if it's going to be the same for him or if his career is just going to, like, downfall. What do you guys think?
I don't know. You know, that's a good question, because reminds me of Lil' Kim. You know, when she went to prison, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, Lil' Kim, she ain't doing nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, before she went in, she dropped her album, you know, it was hot or whatever. But now since she's been out of prison or whatever, I mean, she hasn't really been hot. You know what I'm saying?
I don't know. She's been MIA.
Exactly.
She's been MIA.
I don't know if that's going to happen to him. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because, like, I think he has an album out now, currently. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And now he's, like, going to prison. So, I don't know. I mean, like, maybe he has fans who will stick by him, you know, continue to buy his music. But, you know, but like, for some people, like, if you're always in and out of prison, you
mm-hmm.
know, they just kind of, you know, they fall off away from you.
Yeah. But because I think that I think it's a sentence, it's a really harsh sentence for him because he's a celebrity and for him because music is such an evolutionary thing. It just continues to evolve. And in 10 months, 11 months time from now, what he was coming out with before and it was hot might not be hot when he comes out again. You know what I mean? He might do, you know, he might go ahead and do an interview and be paid well, you know, but going forward for years on and on and on, like, wouldn't that affect his career negatively? He's going to have to work double, I think, to get the love of the public back.
Exactly.
What do y'all think about that? I don't know.
The whole thing with Chris Brown and Rihanna,
uh-huh.
right? It took a while for him to get back up there, for people to actually be like, oh, okay, you know, okay, we'll like your music and we like you and this and this and that. But it took a while for him to get to that status again, for him to actually be there and people actually support him again. You know,
That's very true, because how many years did it take for us to see him mainstream again?
Exactly.
And then did you notice that when that happened, that all the things, all the sounds that came, all the songs that came out that kind of sounded like it would be made for Chris Brown, everybody else did? It was like an absence of him. He was deleted and edited out.
Exactly. Wow.
It's just, it all depends on how he handles it from there, because if he, you know, can't take that small window opportunity to actually go ahead and do what he has to do to be there, then it's just, he's just not going to be there anymore.
I know.
I know.
I'm like, do you think that he'll even bounce back from this?
So Chris Brown?
No.
Oh, T.I.
T.I.
I think he will, because he do have, like, you know, I mean, you know, he does have, like, I believe that he has a lot of true followers and fans. So
yeah.
I think he will bounce back. And then, like, you know, like, some people, you know, they're on his side because, you know, like, a lot of people, you know, they smoke weed or whatever. So, you know, basically a lot of people, they're on his side about this.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think
he
will.
You know, it's just 11 months.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It is just 11 months.
That's
like,
for, you know, 3 or 4 years, and then when they get out, they go, they make a record, they make an album, boom, they're out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just 11 months. If he comes back and he has a good team behind him, then he'll still be there.
So wait, did his wife come out? Did Tiny come out unscathed? Or is she going to jail too?
I didn't even read anything about her. Did you hear anything about her, Gemini?
I didn't
see anything about her. But I knew that there was a lot of speculation that she might have been taking the blame for what happened just because she was in the car. You know, so I was wondering what would happen with Tiny. I was wondering what would happen with Tiny, because if she was in the car and she was implied in the charges, you know, she has a daughter. You know what I mean? I was wondering what would happen from then on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
She a mess, too.
Crazy.
So, where is our guest? No guest?
No guest. Not yet.
Well, let's, you know, I have been burning, or not burning, but I have been wanting to hear that song about Maintain. What is that song that, there's a song about Maintain that we have. I forgot what it's called.
Uninspired?
No
Darkness?
No.
Beautiful Mind?
It's another one. No, name another one. I'm serious.
The guest game.
Okay. No, those are they.
We're going to work it out. Yes. Yes.
So wait, so you guys want to go ahead and sample King Jabbar's new stuff, because it's Maintain, No Darkness, Uninspired. Got it. No, not Got It Me.
Yeah.
Do No Darkness. I love that
song. No Darkness. All right, guys. We're going to be right back. We're going to pay some bills right now, and we're going to leave you with Maintain, No Darkness.
All right.
There will be no darkness tonight, but still dim the lights. I'm trying to do this right. I don't want to argue and fight. I want to parlay. It's been a long, hard day. I just want to kick back and enjoy the six-pack and turn the celly off. I'm sick of it ringing off the hook. Hell, I might even read a book, or maybe just lay back and stare at the ceiling. Because I'm constantly moving. It's a terrible feeling, because I can barely rest these days. I'm moving fast. Sometimes it feels like I'm getting ready to crash. And honestly, this fucking rap shit is kicking my ass. Even though there is times I do be having a blast, but tonight I'ma relax like a champ finally, and enjoy every minute of my privacy. The night is mine and it's young still. I might just pour me a glass of wine and just chill, and take one to the head to get the mood right, and stand on the balcony under the moonlight, and let me in the moment just unite. There will not be any darkness tonight. I'm not having it. You know what I mean? No phone, the phone is off. I don't even want to hear about no rap shit. Nothing. Lay here in silence. Hear the crickets sing. You know what I mean? The night is mine. I swear most of the time. time it feels like I got a brain disorder. But tonight I'ma try to get my brain in order. The pressure's getting heavy and sometimes it's hard to handle it. So tonight I got the incense and the candles lit. I'ma slow down and step back and taste, cause I be feeling like I'm running in the rabbit's race. I never thought that I'd be moving at this faster pace. It's got me feeling like a motherfucking basket case. Days are short, nights are short too. I would chill out like this a little more often, but I just can't afford to. Maybe I'll try to watch a DVD or just mellow out to an R&B CD. Or maybe unwind in my BED so I can rest in peace like I'm Eazy-E. I don't know, the night can take me anywhere, I guess. As long as I'm taking it lightly, I'm caring less. I got things to think about that I'm not gonna think about, like this label meeting that I got in a week from now. And even though I'm hoping things go right, I would not be stressed out about it tonight. Tell them, Mike.
And that was Maintained with No Darkness. Gemini, how you doing?
Hey, good. Here.
Did you like the song? I love that song.
I'm about to actually look him up. I like that song. I actually wrote it down.
Yeah.
Sounds really, really good.
Really, really good. So now we're going to do a weekly inspiration. So 2 seconds. So today's weekly inspiration was by, it's a quote by Bill Cosby, and it's a very interesting quote, and I really wanted to share it with you because it's really inspiring, and it's really interesting because people always say this to me, oh, you know, word to the wise, such a popular figure of speech, right? So Bill Cosby says, a word to the wise ain't necessary. It's the stupid ones that need the advice. So I just thought that was so funny, and, you know, you can read so much into it. You know, it's normally the stupid people that try to give you advice anyway. It's normally the girl with no boyfriend that tries to give you advice about your relationship for 10 years. You know what I mean? It's normally the man with no wife, the one to tell you to leave your wife at home. You know what I mean? So make really educated and really well thought out decisions, and that is our weekly inspiration. So we're going to be moving on today. I'm going to have a really special fresh off the plate, and I have a caller. 2 seconds.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. Keeping it real hot and fresh. How you doing?
Who's on the line?
Hello.
Who is it?
Hi.
D-Fly,
how are you doing?
My bad. I think I got disconnected. It's me,
oh,
only me.
I got disconnected too.
You said what?
Yeah, little technical difficulties. We all got disconnected in the little break.
Exactly.
Yes. So today we were supposed to be interviewing King Jabbar, which is
what we can do, Monsieur, like you said, is we're still waiting for King Jabbar to come on the line. I think he's having technical difficulties. I'm not for sure, but I guess, you know, just to give everybody a sample of what he's about, maybe we should just go ahead and like play, you know, some of his music, and then we'll critique it until he gets on the line with us.
Yeah, this is what we're going to do. So
sounds good.
So we are going to feast on your little ears the new innovative sounds of King Jabbar, and this is King Jabbar Dancing with the Devil. And here it is, y'all.
Yeah. fighting with Jim Keisha over some good dick. I met him off Adam for Adam. You knew that can be a bitch because niggas deceive this. And niggas ain't shit. That nigga that's right over there between Broad and the chain place. Wall Street in the financial district. If a nigga ain't sweet, I may have to pay this as a visit. Because my mission is please get paid and go about my business. But before it's the mission, can you understand this? If you're looking for love, I'll get caught up in my kiss. I got a reputation, I'm a fucking savage. I vandalize and leave your life up in shambles. I got a special technique, crush the cooker with my hammer. Good sex in the city, oh yeah, something like Samantha. Oh yes, hush money, I'll kill the propaganda. You can proceed in the tossing of my salad. I can foresee the prospect of your talents like a ghost. So smile for the camera, Rupa Dose. I'll call another faggot and it's no need, cause the devil wears Prada. Come dance with the devil, come dance with me. I can show you things of your biology. If you know what next is, that's everything guaranteed. Just the right and the business is what you need. I kinda got bored with this text, so it was off to the next. 145th Street, the stop I do next. It's more than Dada Sadiq, he just copied me flat. He was a typical butch crew, baby mama too clean. So he wanted me to fuck a million two of his friends. So I jumped the fuck in, bitch, you know that I did. But his homeboy Martin with the little was big. He kept staring at me with the devilish grin. So he uttered some words, that's how I seen it before. I told him shut the fuck up and sort of pepper the bird. And make sure you save some for your fucking friends. I catch up with your ass up in a little bit. And since you're the only motherfucker, seen the half of your.
And that was King James, King Jabbar. And, yes, we were expecting a clean version. And, unfortunately, that was not a clean version. I'm so sorry about that, everybody. I am so sorry about that.
It reminded me of Tupac.
But otherwise, yeah. What did you guys think about it, besides, you know, the curse words?
That's a good, but what did I think about it?
He didn't
remind me of Tupac. I don't know who he reminded me of. I mean, he definitely.
I don't know if it's the beat or his voice, but it's one or the other. It reminds me. It sounds really West Coast for some reason. Well, at least that song sounded West Coast to me.
I don't know. He reminded me. I don't know. I mean, it was good. You know,
does it sound like he came from North Carolina?
No,
right? He does sound like a new Rick Ross, don't he? Or
yeah.
An original Rick Ross or something,
Wayne.
Right? He has like a Rick Ross kind of flow. And I think that's really good. And I really do find it to be innovative, only because I like the beat so much. The beat is so high.
Yeah.
To me. What do you guys think about that beat? That beat is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know. It's like for some reason it just, I don't know, for me it just reminds me of the West Coast, like just driving real slow for some reason. I don't know.
Oh. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I liked it. I think his flow is good. What do you think about it?
Yeah, I think it was cool. You know, I mean, it definitely, you know, have your hair bopping. You know, I could see like people, you know what I'm saying, like that song going in a club and people got something that, you know, got the drink in their hand, they're just kind of bopping their head. So, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think it worked.
Yeah,
it's awesome. It's awesome.
Yeah.
We're very stereotypical people. So does it sound like this is a gay artist? Because everybody's so stereotypical about this, you know.
Exactly.
So what do you guys think?
Well, exactly. Well, I don't know if you had, you know, introduced it in the beginning of the show, but everybody, King Jabbar, he is an out rock rapper. And for those of y'all who might not know what it means, it basically he's a rapper, but he's gay, and he's out about it. So, you know, he's not trying to hide it. So a lot of his lyrics, you may hear, you know, I guess like homosexual lyrics or whatever, or certain slurs or whatever. So... No, I mean, he doesn't sound gay. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, he doesn't sound like, you know, what one would think that an out rapper would be like, you know?
Yeah,
I wonder how hard, well, the only reason that I did not introduce all of his information was because I was waiting for him to call in and for him to give you the information, you know, straight from the horse's mouth, real hot and fresh. But unfortunately, he's not here right now. But he has a really extensive bio. He's been around since around 2007. He's come out with singles, and he's really paid his dues. So I'm not sure exactly when he came out of the closet, but the point of the matter is that he's out of the closet and he's a rapper. And if you remember a couple of years ago on BET, there was a lot of controversy because there emerged this other gay rapper, and people were, you know, contesting his hoodness, you know what I mean, just because he was gay. Do you think that's even valid? Oh, it's 1997.
I don't think so. I mean, because, you know, there's a certain handful of rappers that, you know, they didn't necessarily come from the hood or anything like that. And, I mean, they, you know, they make good music, you know?
Yeah.
I don't really think it's about, because I'm like, you know, there's singers and stuff that are gay, and they make their music and everything. But, you know, they're still making, like, $2 million an album and selling a lot of records. You know, I don't really think it's about... so much about the sex, it's just so much about the music.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, them being gay or not gay might have a little support here, a little support there that might boost it up. But they make music, make the music, and if you like the music, you're gonna get it, right?
Yeah. I thought that was really brave, especially now where there's so much controversy where anything remotely alternative or somewhat lesbian or somewhat gay or somewhat transgendered or somewhat bisexual, even media stuff, I mean, like, it's due to heavy it's you know, a lot of people have a lot of opinions about these things, and I was just wondering, you know, what do you guys think? Do you guys think that he's going to have a hard time marketing this music? Because I really love it.
I think that he is. I think that if he wants to get, like, in the mainstream, like, you know, a mainstream, like a Ludacris, like a T.I., like a Jay-Z, and that type, I think he is, because of, like, you know, homosexuality. I mean, it's come a lot further than it has, I guess, a decade or even further ago. But, you know, there's still those homophobic people, you know, who just don't agree with it, who don't understand it. They're not trying to understand it because, you know, to them it's just different and they don't get it, they don't want to get it. You know what I'm saying?
That Paladino guy.
Yeah.
That Paladino guy, you guys heard about that politician? It's this politician. I think he's going for governor. I'm sorry, I'm not, politics is not my thing. But I think he's going for governor. Yeah, it's gubernatorial that he's going for. And he has a gay nephew. And, you know, being that he has money, he owns this building, and he was letting his gay nephew throw gay parties at his venue. But he came out in the paper last week talking about how, you know, the media shouldn't put homosexuality in any of its programming because it's teaching our kids that homosexuality is okay, or, you know, like, he made it seem like it was something that he himself could rectify, which just is not the case, you know what I mean? And, you know, being that, you know, there's so many people commenting on this and, you know, having such mixed feelings about this right now, I think that he is going to have a big, big problem with this. You know what I mean? Even though he's so talented, because he's obviously talented. You guys heard that music. You know what I mean? So I think that just, you know, the sexual orientation part, I think some people are not going to be ready to confront it. And there are going to be some people that are going to be like, whatever, this guy is awesome.
Exactly. Because, like, another thing, too, you know, like rapper, you know, rap and hip-hop, that's always been something known as kind of like a hardcore type thing. So, you know, so like if you're out rapper, and then, you know, you're singing about, you know, a dude or whatever, you know, people look at it like, okay, he's not hard, you know, he's talking about some guy, he's a punk. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's how people are going to look at it. You know, they're not going to look at him like, okay, well, he's hardcore. You know, they're going to look at him like, you know, like a punk, basically. I mean, not everybody, but a lot of people will, you know?
Yeah, like I was really thinking to myself, okay, so there's going to be so many people that are going to, you know, put it down right away, hands down.
Yeah,
do you think, and I think that's going to be like major people with money, you know what I mean, just because, you know, it's such a controversial subject right now. And then, you know, that King Jabbar is not, he's not shy about confronting or saying, you know, what he means, where he's from, because in the music, I was listening to the lyrics, and the lyrics make very strong references to the gay community. So he's obviously not scared to put it out there and put it in people's faces. I'm wondering, are people going to be able to handle it, though?
No, but, just because it's just hip-hop, right? Just because it's hip-hop, he's going to have, you know, that hard time with it. Just him giving out the message, you know, there's gonna be people that are gonna support him off the bat.
And then you know what else? I wonder what makes a lot of people think that a gay man wouldn't be hardcore, or that a gay woman wouldn't be hardcore. Because I think it takes a lot of bravery to be out and gay.
Well, the reason why is because, like, whenever the media or just people or just whatever, you know, whenever they think of a gay man, they think of the feminine man. That's why, you know, they, for example, if somebody was to say, show me a gay man, you know, they're going to show, like, you know, this probably flamboyant, flaming type person. They're not going to show this hardcore, you know, masculine guy. I mean, even though, you know, a person like that, looking like that, can be gay as well, but that's not what the mind goes through. The mind automatically goes to a flamboyant, flaming, you know, type of guy. That's why.
Now, I wonder, now, even though there's been scientific proof that has emerged that, you know, a pregnant woman, due to her body's glands, can give birth to a child during the pregnancy. If there are a certain amount of hormones in the system, your baby can come out a girl that has a man's brain, a boy that has a woman's brain, or a brain that functions like the opposite sex. This has been scientifically proven. There's scientific proof out there. There's scientific proof that there's something in your brain that makes you gay, and there's something in your brain that makes you straight. You know what I mean? There's scientific proof, but there's so much trouble with accepting that I think that would just work against the music, no matter how talented he is at all. And I want to have more faith in people, but, you know, the media is really showing me that, you know, the majority, even though it's a small majority, because we're really at a half and half here, you know, where, you know, it's a vote, okay, leave the gay people alone, and then it's a vote, no, they should be gone. You know what I mean? Because it's always half and half, like 45% to 50, or 50, you know, it's only 5%, you know? So I wonder, what do you think he could do to make his music hit the mainstream?
I don't really think he needs to do anything. I think he's doing fine just right now. What he really needs is somebody to believe in him to actually bring it out there. He needs that financial support. He needs that promotion team that's actually going to be there and be like, you know what, look, we like your stuff. We're going to promote this. We're going to bring it out there. We're gonna make it big. We're going to give you a deal. We're going to do this. We're going to do that because we believe in your talent. That's, you know, in your talent. Nothing else, just in your talent. And you know what? If you have to cross that bridge and that subject, then we will. But, you know, we're going to do this because we believe in your music. He needs that support. That's what he needs. He doesn't really have to do it. He doesn't have to change himself. No. He already, you know, what he's doing right now, you know, let him keep doing it. But he just needs that one person that's going to be like, you know what?
Right. And then we're definitely going to play another song by the artist. Before we do, I just wanted to say, too, I also think that another thing that this, you know, this would definitely help, but, like, I think, like, having, like, a straight rapper, you know, like people, like, somebody that people look up to, like, a Ludacris or a Jay-Z, I mean, just for example, you know what I'm saying, because, like, people go by, you know what I'm saying, people are followers, there's so many followers, you know what I'm saying, like, Jay-Z, you know, like, if Jay-Z was to start wearing, I don't know, pink glasses, then, you know, next week, everybody's wearing pink glasses, you know what I'm saying, if a Ludacris, you know, whatever. So, see, so I think that, like, a lot of people, if they start that, like, Jay-Z's and P. Diddy's and Ludacris, you know what I'm saying, like, they were supporting these gay, you know, out rappers as well, you know, I mean, now, of course, you know, folks might be like, well, you know, why is Jay-Z helping this gay guy, whatever, but you know what I'm saying, but, like, Dizzy's straight. You know, he's straight, but, like, he's just supporting it because, you know, he believes in the talent and the music and all that. You know, then I think, too, a lot of people will accept it because they're like, you know what I'm saying? Well, Jay-Z, he's straight. You know what I'm saying? He's cool with it. You know what I'm saying? He's a part of, you know, helping him out or whatever. So, hey, why not? You know what I'm saying? So I think, too, like, a lot of straight, like, you know what I'm saying, straight artists, you know, if they were to start working with some of these out rappers, I think they would help, too. I mean, I'm not saying it's going to be as easy as snapping your fingers. That's going to work.
We have a caller.
Okay.
Hello, Real Hot Fresh.
Hello. Yeah, what's going on? This is King Jabbar.
Hello, King Jabbar.
Hey.
Hey, we're just talking about you. Good thing, bro.
Oh, good. I'm sorry, I just got off the train and got in the house.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, we're so happy to have you on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you so much. So we just played Dancing with the Devil,
one of
your songs, and we loved it. I love your sound.
Oh,
it's so
you.
Unique and so fantastic. I just wanted to just ask you all kinds of questions.
Oh, go ahead.
So firstly, I want to know how did you get started? I mean, like, how did you come to realize that you wanted to be an artist?
Oh, wow. Well, I believe, like, it was, like, 7 years ago, me and one of my good friends that I deal with now, which is my stylist, when I met him, I was going through a breakup, and I was writing a bunch of poetry, and I just started, like, reciting it to him, and he was like, wow, you should, like, you know, get into music, whatnot. So I playing around with the sound of my voice and everything, and, you know, I started, like, different producers, like, for my job that I was working with. And that was it, but I think got developed like 7 years ago.
Oh, wow. Now, how did you discover your love of music? And where are you from?
I'm from North Carolina.
You're from North Carolina?
Yes.
That's fantastic. I lived there for a while.
I'm
wondering, how did your residence in North Carolina, or you being from North Carolina, affect your music career? Like, how did it shape your music career?
Well, you know, I'm a Southern boy. That's always gonna be incorporated in my sound of my music because I do have, like, a Southern draw. I always try to keep that present with, you know, how I live with my music. You know, it just, you know, I was born with it.
Mhm. That's fantastic. Now that's talent when you know that you're born with it.
No, I'm not. I'm saying. Yeah, I guess you could say that. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Now, how did you realize that you wanted to work in music as a profession?
Well, I always wanted to be in the entertainment business, and I started doing modeling and doing a few videos when I first moved to New York. And I was one of my modeling friends. One day I was in one of my, like, runs where I wasn't in a position where I was making enough money with doing the modeling, because, you know, it's kind of hard to make money as a male model if you're not that boy at the time.
Are you still modeling and doing music?
Not technically. I'm not doing that professionally. You know, I'm just like concentrating on one thing. But as I was saying, I was at an industry party, and one of my good friends approached me, and they was like, well, you know what, you need to concentrate on doing something else to get you where you want to be. So that's when I started, like, focusing on music more. That's what's up.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Yeah, so basically, okay, so we played one of your songs before. It was called Dancing with the Devil, and, you know, it has certain, you know, lyrics in there. So basically, you know, we wanted you to tell more about it, but, 'cause, you are known as the out rapper, and you know a lot of people, you know a lot of people, they might not know what is an out rapper. So why don't we try to describe it, but you could definitely describe it a lot better than us.
Well, you know, I don't like using out rapper. I'm just a rapper that happens to be gay. So I mean, people wanna put me in that category, but it's all good. But to give you the definition for the listeners, an out rapper is a gay rapper that is, you know, just open with their sexuality.
Oh, okay. Now, did you realize that you were in the life before you became a rapper, or was it always, did it always coincide? It was just part of your personality?
Well, now it is. Like, when I first started doing it, I wasn't writing sexually explicit lyrics. I was more of doing, like, a lot of metaphors and, you know, a lot of conscious stuff. I wasn't freeing myself of, you know, the other things I wanted to talk about that was going on in my life. So I just, like, said, you know, the hell with it, and I started doing me.
Oh, okay, okay.
I try not to, I didn't want to please others anymore.
Okay, okay. Now, I wonder, did it have an effect on your career when you did come out?
Well, yes. A lot of different they wasn't interested in working with me because I was, like, too vulgar with my my topics I was talking about, and it wasn't comfortable with what I was, you know, delivering in my music.
Okay, okay. So go ahead, Gemini.
Have your name come up? How did you think of his name?
Well, my middle name is Jabbar, and one of my parents is Scooter King, and it just went well together. It just meshed. It sounded good, so I just stuck with it.
Oh, wow. Well, you know, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but I'm actually interested in hearing another song.
Most definitely. And we are going to get into Making Me Cry by King Jabbar.
Oh,
and let us. Making Me Cry.
That's my boy, Baron.
Keep it here, guys.
Too good for you, I suppose. Too good for you, one of those niggas who be tripping. often just too hard to show your feelings and complain and never give.
Now that was King Jafar, was making me cry. Now wasn't that hot, guys?
I like that.
That was hot. That
it was. I mean, it was very hot. I mean, I could definitely hear that cut on the radio. You know
well,
what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like a second single or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everybody likes that song. Like all the radio people like that. Like the people, the radio people I send it to, they really like that. That's like one of the first songs that I did off that mixtape. It was making me cry. It was like a long process because I didn't really want to be emotional,
mm-hmm.
and I it took me like three months to like, you know, get my thought process together because I was like going through like depression was taking a toll on me at the time, so my mind was in a thousand places. So
wow,
wow,
is this your first mixtape?
Yeah, this is my first one, but I had like a demo I made for that I used to, but it was just like, you know, a thought process to like find my voice and find what direction I wanted to go in, and you know, I did a few shows ago, I just to answer the question, yeah, this is my first one.
That's
now, future-wise, like, what, like, do you want this to be something long-term, short-term? Like, do you want to send out a message or, you know?
Yeah, definitely long-term. I'm not doing this as like a game. This is like my business. So, to put your breast on, Gutter Chic was picked up by this gentleman by the name of, for the song, Dance With Her, was picked up by a gentleman named Tyler Saluis. Wrote the, this book called Dancing With the Devil, which turned into a short film. So he's taking the song up to incorporate and it will be out sometime.
That's very cool. This is Z-Fly. I'm going to ask one more question because I'm actually at a live event and it's starting to warm up. But before I go, I do want to know, like, is there any mainstream artists or mainstream rappers that you would like to collaborate with or would like to?
Well, I would love to work with a lot of people, but the person on the top of my list would be Erykah Badu, and I would love to work with Nails. I would like to work with Lil Wayne.
Mm.
Wow!
I could see that happening. That is nice.
It'd be nice.
That would be a nice collabo.
Yeah. But I definitely want to work with Erykah Badu, D'Angelo. I would like to do something with Andy Stone. Like mostly all the neo soul people.
Okay.
But I would like to do something with the Roots, though.
That is fantastic. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, King Jafar, for coming through and talking to us and being on the show and just giving us an inner insight to what your life is like and how you got to where you are.
Well, thank you for supporting me. Yeah. And thank you for having me on the show.
No doubt.
I appreciate that. I'm sorry I called in late, but, you know, things happen.
It's okay. We understand. But we are now 9:53, so we are so happy to have you, and I guess it's going to be good night. Thank you so much for coming through, and it was a pleasure to have you here.
All
right, good night.
Good luck. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Okay, guys, so we are counting down the show. We've only got 5 minutes, so I'm going to squeeze in your juiciest, fresh off the plate yet. It is Miss Jules.
What's up?
Miss Jules.
And your boy Z-Fly is going to squeeze down. I'm about to go back to the event. So everybody, thank you again. And that was King Jabbar, and this is Z-Fly. I'm out. Peace, y'all.
Alright.
Peace. Bye. So everybody, the question being asked around the world is, did Justin Bieber get picked on at Major Lazer? So the story is that Justin Bieber, right, went to go play laser tag and ended up being the target, pretty much. A preteen pushed him, and some kind of altercation ensued. But Bieber was the one that got thrown out because the kid told the manager that Bieber hit him. So whatever was it that happened, I don't know. But normally they don't boot you out of the establishment if you weren't the one that started the fight. But that's just a thought. Anyway, OMG, guys. Omarion is in the news. Omarion is now one of the continuously growing amount of artists racking up hefty IRS bills. Okay, word on the street is that he owes the IRS $110,000. Okay, $110,585 to be exact. And he's said to have filed bankruptcy in January. Okay? And this is an epidemic. It's spreading like a bad rash because he's not the only one. Suge Knight, Snoop Dogg, Toni Braxton, Nas, DMX, Method Man, and Young Buck all had IRS paybacks that they had to do. And it wasn't just a little bit of chump change. And they all know a little something about the situation because all of them owe the IRS. So Young Buck actually is in the news now because he owed the IRS $300,000, and this month he's going to be auctioning off some of his belongings. So, and then in June, Lil Wayne paid up $1.3 million. Then Swiss Beatz paid up $2.2 million. And White Clef also owed $5 million. So go figure. It's an epidemic. It's going on everywhere. And now, if you're rich enough, you can plan a vacation to go outer space. Virgin Galactic is now charging $200,000 to train you to take a trip out of space and to take a vacation out of space. So any takers? Anyway. You will never believe who Miss Jules had the pleasure of meeting this weekend. I met Kiki Wyatt, the singer fondly known for her rendition of Patti's If You Only Knew and her duets with Yvonne. And, of course, everybody remembers the scandal in 2002 when she was reputed to stab her husband. And VH1 reported in 2001 that there was a bit of steak knife extracted from her husband's back. But she claims that it isn't true, but the state she was living in found her guilty and indicted her, so she did do some jail time. But anyway, everybody watch out because Kiki Wyatt is performing again. She's back. And guess who was there to see it, y'all? Me. Miss Jules happened to be in attendance at Lover Girl NYC, a cancer benefit party. And your girl got to see Kiki Wyatt doing her thing after all this time. And she is killing them. She performed 3 songs. She's supposed to be having an album coming out. And she showed everybody she still got it. Go, girl. And today was Willow Smith's premiere on 106 in Park with her new video of Whip My Hair. So everybody's going to love this. I'm going to see everybody doing this. Congratulations to Alicia Keys and Swiss Beatz, who welcomed the new baby boy on Thursday. Congratulations. And that is Miss Jules, and this is Fresh Off the Plate. And, guys, now we only got 2 minutes to the show, but I'm going to get into the 10 ways you know you're ghetto. All right? So we're going to do this quick right now. It's going to be, number one, you know you're ghetto if you have 10 uses for Vaseline and one of them is shoe polish. Number two, you know you're ghetto if you put a construction brick on your stove to heat your home. You know you ghetto if your toenails hit the concrete while your foot is in the shoe. You know you ghetto if you tip and try to gum. You know you ghetto if you think McDonald's is a fancy restaurant. You know you ghetto if you push in an Aston Martin and run out of gas. You know you ghetto if you snap your tongue to emphasize words. Ejemplo, example, called Pookie. You know you ghetto if you cashing food stamps for money. You know you ghetto if you dropping it like it's hot in front of your house and there ain't no block party. You know you ghetto if you still rocking them damn Chinese slippers thinking you making a statement. And that is our show tonight, guys. We are going to leave you with King Jabbar. Set them on fire.
rhyming, baby. Ain't nothing like us. I got fatality, baby. I'm driving the daisy with variety, baby. Yeah, in proportion like a shining, baby. Hey, I wouldn't shut you off, job, you bitch. You ain't a novel and it told ya. Oh, I thought I told ya. You were doing stop acting like I knew ya. Hey, I'm jiggling, baby, with no contraceptive, contraband and deal. Ain't no hair stepping out of tail of a pain. Let's get it established. I'm a shady lady, hey. What you want, that's how my mom raised me. Don't get it fucked up like a nigga raised me. I'm so hypnotized like a nigga gravy, hey. Simulation got your vision, hey, the grave. Everybody wanna be the president, coming out your neck, talking reckless with that bullshit.